You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time for the Southern Cross.
Yes, indeed. Time for Southern Cross again. I have with me in the studio today Hale Ehimotu and Blessing Tom from the Pacific Media Centre's Bearing Witness Climate Project. They both just got back from Fiji last week. And also Professor David Robbie, Director of the PMC. How are we?
Good. Thank you very much.
Yeah, nice to have you in. So, Hale and Blessing, we'll start with you guys. How did the Fiji mission go? You're at the University of the South Pacific campus for the first week doing some climate stories. Share them.
Oh, it was a fantastic opportunity and an incredible journey. So we've traveled to Fiji on 14th, and then on the first week, we did some stories within the university campus. On the first day, we went into an interview with the vice chancellor, and then we went and met students, journalists, in the University of South Pacific campus, and then we did stories on a French project called EPOP. And then towards the end of the first week, we traveled to Rambi.
Oh, cool. EPOP, what is that for?
It's a project within partnership with the USP and a French network.
Right.
So they want students to do climate change stories on their phone. They did a workshop at the USP, and some students were involved in that. So we wanted to know more about the project, so we did a story on them.
Oh, cool. All right. And then you're off on a long-haul... Yeah, a long-haul trip to Rambi, retracing your mother's early life on the remote island. Hale, I gather it was her first trip back since the 1990s, and your first.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So my mother's last time in Rambi was 1995, and she went with my brothers, so I'm the last out of my siblings to have gone there. So it was my first time, and just a little bit about Rambi. The inhabitants of the island are the Barnabans. They were forced to relocate there in 1945 due to the devastation of the island from phosphate mining. So they relocated to Rambi, and that's where they're living now. And so, it was a meaningful trip because I got to meet relatives and really see how my people are living and the sort of lifestyle that they live by every day. And it was amazing, and actually getting to go there with a purpose as well, and interviewing people about how they're being affected by climate change, and also just learning a bit more about my culture and about the history of the Barnabans as well.
How was that for forming a sense of identity? I mean, I've got a lot of roots in Samoa, but I've never been and just would love to go. So, yeah, how was that for you?
Yeah, no, it definitely was a life-changing experience, and it created a stronger sense of identity for myself. I've always been keen to learn more about my Barnaban roots, and it's a different thing when I'm actually gracing the land that my people are walking and sort of just being immersed in their life and actually seeing firsthand how my people live and how they implement their values, even just through the way that they welcome us and house us and how hospitable they are. So for me, it was a meaningful experience, and I'm so thankful for the project for giving me the opportunity to go there. Yeah.
And now you're working on a new doco. What's the gist of that?
Yeah, so we are doing a documentary on Rambi. So we interviewed, we're doing a story on how they're being affected by sea level rise. And we got to chat to a few people about how their lifestyle is being affected. And we're kind of merging it as well with the history of the Barnabans. So we talked to some Barnaban elders who arrived on Rambi Island as children and talked to them about what they remembered when they arrived on Rambi and growing up on the island, and how it was being away from Barnapa and trying to experience a new life away from their home, original homeland. So Blessing shot a lot of the visuals, if you want to.
It will be around 10 minutes. That's our target is, and we it was a challenging task for me as a filmmaker because the conditions were really tough. There's no power in Rambi, so we had to pack up enough batteries to so that we can shoot as much as possible. And at the same time, we were careful in shooting because we had to really plan on what to shoot. We can just randomly go and shoot everything.
Yeah.
So that was another challenge for us. And then another thing was the language. It's Gilbertese in Rambi, so it was a really tough job to interview people. So we were lucky that Hele's mom was with us, so she translated for us, and that was amazing. So people really opened up because Hele is from Rambi, so and he's doing the story. So it was a really amazing experience for me to see them going back to their place and then meeting their relatives. It was wonderful. Yeah.
Special to be a part of it.
Yeah.
So, how significant are the effects of climate change for these people?
In Rambi, it's pretty intense and it's quite sad because a lot of people tend to forget about the outer islands in Fiji. We talked to a man who had lost his home due to sea level rise, and even some of the locals are having to build their own seawalls just because they're not receiving any help. So they're having to take it into their own hands and make use of their own resources. And there really isn't enough resources. They're having to, you know, pile up these stones and use their own clothing to kind of hold it together. And we saw some of these seawalls and they're getting easily destroyed. And even my mum, she was, we walked past this area where she remembers where there used to be a seawall and it's no longer there. And so the effects are definitely noticeable. And so it's really sad because no one knows that they're suffering and that people on Rambi aren't receiving enough help. So we're hoping that through this documentary and telling the story of the Barnabins who are living there, that we can actually spark some change and get some people to see that they need the help.
And when do you think the documentary will be finished?
We are doing the work as we are now because it's our professors wanted it to be released in an international film festival. So May last is our target now, but it is really tough because of the translations. You have to translate it first, and then right. We have to cut. So
yeah.
We're hoping we'll finish it towards the end of this month.
Well, yeah, good luck with that. Wish you well. Exciting.
Thank you very much.
Oh, also, the previous documentary from the Pacific Media Centre won an award, didn't they?
That's right, last year.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. That was in the village Tukuraki near Mba on Viti Levu Island. So that was really quite something too.
I watched that. It was really good. So yeah, David, last week we talked about Reporters Without Borders and their Global Media Freedom Index report on the Pacific. President Macron of France has been visiting New Caledonia over the weekend, and he made a rather emotional visit to the site of the 1988 hostage-taking crisis. And there was a media aspect to this. What happened?
Well, yes, this is quite extraordinary because it's 30 years on from the 5th of May in 1988 was a massacre of 19 young Kalak militants, many of them students. They had taken a number of gendarmes hostage and held them in caves for 2 weeks, and there was negotiations going on. And it's generally believed that there would have been a peaceful resolution. But it was at the time, 30 years ago, it was a presidential contest between Mitterrand and Chirac. And they both made a political issue out of this and used it as part of their presidential election campaign. And so they decided to resolve it militarily. And a helicopter into the shock forces, after sending in about 300 troops and so on, shock forces were sent in by helicopter to the caves. And 19 Kanaks were shot, and it was alleged that they were many of them tortured when they're still alive later. The helicopter that went in was disguised as carrying a whole lot of journalists, because they'd actually been carrying on negotiations right up until the end. So they actually used the media as a cover to surprise the militants, even though they'd already agreed to let the gendarmes go. Macron going there 30 years on, his first time French president's gone there, was very, very emotional. And a lot of the tribes on Nouvelle Island didn't want him to go there, but he did go to the site and he planted a young coconut tree as a symbolic. Now, of course, in November this year, November the 4th, there's a referendum on independence, which is a result of what happened to the massacre then. Negotiations went on and then they had their Matignon Accord, which has paved the way for this vote on independence. However, Macron, in his statements over the weekend, made it very clear that he certainly said the relationship between New Caledonia and France was very, very special. And clearly, although he didn't actually sort of say vote for France, it was a very clear message that he hopes that's the case. And he announced a whole lot of economic plans for the future of New Caledonia, which of course would depend on a vote for France at the referendum in November.
Right. And back to the media freedom issue now. You said some fairly strong stuff at the Media Freedom Day seminar about West Papua. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. Basically, my message was that the New Zealand media, by and large, apart from the wonderful job that's done by RNZ Pacific, have largely ignored West Papua, the whole issue of West Papua, about the invasion in the 1960s by the Indonesians and then getting a sham vote, plebiscite at the time, that endorsed Indonesia having colonial control in West Papua. So really my plea was that New Zealand media need to step up and take this issue very, very seriously. The rest of the Pacific countries take it seriously, but Australia and New Zealand largely ignore it. Mm. And also called for a genuine referendum under the United Nations on self-determination for the West Papuans.
Yeah, I suppose part of the problem is the likes of New Zealand Herald seem to prefer reporting on Hillary Clinton going into a baby store in Parnell to buy gifts. Yeah,
so. Exactly. All the entertainment. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. All righty. Well, thank you very much for coming in. Very much appreciate it. And yeah, great to hear about your trip and good luck with your documentary. You. Right. Have a good week.
That was the Southern Cross.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.